You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great Tuesday. Hey, make sure to nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nominations at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help them celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact on the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. I think you should nominate Lloyd Cole for being the head coach of the Royals. He is your Hercules
assistant.
Player of the Week. Oh, assistant?
I'm an assistant.
You're an assistant to the manager of the Royals.
Assistant to the manager, to the regional manager.
All right. How's the team looking, by the way?
1-2.
Oh, but really? Hey, you started 1-0, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Got that win out of the way. It's okay. Took us a long time to get to that first win last year.
We got the old flag football team kicking up this week. Got our first practice tonight. Looking forward to that. I told you guys,
well,
talk me out of this.
Make our meeting longer. I don't.
because we have a game on Thursday and our first practice is today.
I think you'd like it, Scotty.
I did last year.
He did say he was looking forward to it.
No, not really. I mean,
stop. You're looking forward to it.
You guys are both better dads than me because I wouldn't get involved. Well, I got pulled into like 3 years, but it was like I wasn't much help.
I think that the kids, like when they were really into it, it was enjoyable. And I think all of us are just kind of limping into it. Like, I don't think anybody, like the kids, me, I don't think anybody really
like
wants to.
This is fifth year with this little group, isn't it?
This is my third year coaching. But Brody's been doing it for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
But I think
with the same kids.
Yeah. But now they're all in junior high. And I thought last year was going to be it. But then they're like, hey, let's do it again. Let's run it back. I'm like, all right, if you guys all come back, then we'll do it. And then, you know, most of them did. And so I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm on the hook. And now that we're getting into practices, they're like, I don't know if we really wanted to do this or not.
Oh, boy.
So, could be a long year, for sure. All right. Dan Bickley on our sister station, Arizona Sports, down in Phoenix, came on with Jake and Ben. And, again, this is post the mayor of Scottsdale's comments that came out yesterday afternoon, really saying we don't want him near Scottsdale. We don't want this sham of a building being built. We don't have the infrastructure for it. He kind of gave the lay of the land down there, no pun intended, in what's going on with the Coyotes and the situation that could be brewing that could lead to the Coyotes coming to Salt Lake City.
Going into this whole process, there is a piece of land that is going to auction at the end of June. The Coyotes are going to bid for it, but it is also about the primest acreage you're going to find in Arizona. It's kind of land near the McDowell Mountains. There's not a lot of this left. So this is not typical in situations like this because there are many, many ruthless, very savvy developers in Arizona. Housing is sort of our number one industry. So this land is very, very, very valuable, and it's got the attention of a lot of people. And that has to be said as a backdrop. Because even though the Coyotes claim and believe that most of this plot of land has already been zoned for their purposes for an arena, there are many zoning issues that can arise, especially if there are people looking to dissent, if there are people politically motivated to dissent. So I think what we saw from the mayor of Scottsdale yesterday was some of the latter, where the mayor in very, very strong terms basically said the Coyotes are not welcome in Scottsdale. And this whole terrible journey that the Coyotes have been on for the better part of my entire life in Arizona, occurred way back in the day when they won a referendum for an arena in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the city didn't trust the developer, said, prove it to us that you've got the money, and they headed out to Westgate on the west side, and it has been a picture of dysfunction ever since. So I think what you're seeing now is probably the beginning of some of those dissenting voices that may or may not derail the project, and not in terms of the Coyotes' ability to buy the land, but in terms of creating enough delays. If they can create obstacles, the NHL is about out of patience with this hockey team, as you guys well know, and so the clock is their biggest foe at the moment. People I talked to at the end of last week fully anticipated this sort of stuff to happen. And it might actually force the sale of our hockey team to your community. So that's basically where we're at. Just, the political shenanigans have begun around this piece of land that's going up for auction. That's basically what's happened here.
Yeah. Hockey's coming to Salt Lake, folks.
Yeah, I think that's just what get you ready. Need to take from that.
I think the more that we talk to, we talked to one of their hosts last week. Dan Bickley came on today with Jake and Ben. There is just a growing belief in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, that the hockey run is over. Now, there could be an opportunity where Gary Bettman says to the owner of the Coyotes, like, look, you got yourself a train wreck down there. We like being in that market. I think the NHL wants to be in Phoenix. They like that market. It's a great sports town. For some reason, hockey hasn't hit. But I think that they, it's a major market. And there's a lot of people down there. The NHL wants to be there. So I think one of the opportunities they'll say is like, look, you got yourself a mess. You're playing in a college place. Even then, you're not selling that out. So at most, you're in front of 4,500 fans, tops. But even then, that's not happening. Your community doesn't like you. You have city officials that don't like you. You can't figure things out right now. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to let Ryan Smith write you a very big paycheck. And you're going to sell that team to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group. Or you're going to get a check from Ryan Smith and Smith Entertainment Group. They're going to take over your organization. They're going to move it to Salt Lake City. Then you keep working on your land deal. You keep trying to put something together so that you can secure your land and build your arena, and then we'll give you an expansion team. But right now, you're taking years and years and years to get this deal done. I think that's the best case scenario. I think that's a win-win for the NHL, a win-win for Ryan Smith, a win-win for the ownership group down in Phoenix. And I wouldn't surprise me if that happens. But folks, I think you need to start preparing yourself for the NHL being in Salt Lake City coming this fall. I mean, you just reading tea leaves. Again, this isn't information coming from any source that it's a done deal. That's not any of this. This is just reading tea leaves. I know that there's probably people like, I've got sources, blah, 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 blah. No, you don't have sources. What you do is you're seeing the writing on the wall. So the writing on the wall says that this team is probably going to be sold, and this team that is going to be sold is very likely going to be sold to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group. And there's a good chance you're going to be seeing hockey coming up this fall.
When Ryan Smith is sending out images of a new arena and he's sending out tweets saying, well, what do you want to name it? And he's doing everything he can basically to tell everybody. And Scotty and I are just kind of putting it into words and trying to make it more clear for you that it's coming, and it's probably coming sooner than later. And it's exciting. This is new for us. You know, Scotty, in the time you've been in this market, I've been in this market, this is the first like real major sports edition. RSL might have jumped on. Were you pre-RSL?
Just by a bit.
Because I was post-RSL.
Yeah, no, I remember the whole RSL thing brewing and when it happened. It was what, 04, 05? I'd been in the market for a year. So
I think I was with the Colts, or maybe I was with
first AFL, somewhere around there. But yeah, you might have still been with the Colts.
But what was that buzz? Do you remember what the...
Okay, in all honesty, look...
Because Major League Soccer back then was not
what
it
was
is
not
now.
A big thing. It was not a big thing. And look, I remember very distinctly when the Utah Blaze came to town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That we had the rights to both the Blaze and RSL, and the Blaze put RSL on the back burner. Like, we were more focused on the AFL team than we were the Major League Soccer team. Now, obviously, we see the trajectory of those two where it went.
AFL folded.
AFL folded, and RSL is a thriving team, and Major League Soccer is a thriving league and has a lot of great
getting
things going.
And better.
But at the time, in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, wow, AFL. Oh, Major League Soccer, go away.
But this is the first edition for really all three of us in a major sport. I mean,
yes.
That's fun. That's really exciting for me. And for those of you out there that have been listening to the Hans and Scotty Show over the last couple of weeks, or maybe in a month and a half, we've shifted it into gear a little bit. We've got Jay Stevens who joins us. You've heard multiple out-of-market NHL voices come on, and we are definitely jumping in. Look, if we're going to invest this level of time on the show and with the station, it should be a direct indicator to you to how certain we are that it's coming.
Yeah.
Specifically this show. I mean,
yeah.
We've been barking about it, barking loud. But, you know, as Scotty mentioned, it's nothing other than having these out-of-market guys come on and say, hey, look, this isn't even close. This mayor's saying no deal at all. Yeah, the market really isn't supporting it at this point. There's no real outcry. Yeah, there's a small, like, very religious grouping of Coyote fans that really want it here, but they aren't making enough noise to make it that important to be here. And as Scotty mentioned, kind of the embarrassment of what arena they're playing in, not just what arena they're playing, but how poorly they've played over the years. It is time for a new home, a rebranding, re-imaging, and a retooling of that NHL organization.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is the right opportunity for them to do it, is to come here to Salt Lake City.
Coyotes have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games left. Their schedule, they will wrap up against the Oilers coming up next week, the 17th. That's a Wednesday. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me on Thursday or Friday of next week, an announcement coming down.
Of next week?
Now, again, just speculation.
Yeah.
But, like, when their season's over, I think that they want to get through the year, let the players finish off, and then all of a sudden they're being like, say, hey, look, you know what? This is the direction we're going with this organization.
Shift it into gear.
Let's go.
Yeah. Because you want to – it's like when the NBA – or, sorry, when the Utah Jazz decided to remodel the arena.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been – what was the night of the draft?
Pretty much. It was – I think it was right after the season ended. They were like, let's rip it down and let's go.
For the arena, that's right.
Yeah.
And the Zion Center was the night after.
Yeah, when you spilled the food everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were like, what does it matter? It's getting torn up anyway.
I spilled a huge plate of nachos with all this cheese sauce all over the floor, and Scotty told me to leave it because they're going to be ripping up the floor tomorrow. So I did.
That was a lot of food, too.
Oh, man, I loaded up that plate. I had like stacked layers of cheese and chili and sour cream and
by the way, Lloyd knows
chives and
Lloyd knows this because my wife called me when he was in my office. I left my lunch at home.
Oh,
and I am dying right now.
You're starving.
Oh my gosh!
I'd have shared my figs with you.
You had figs.
Figs.
Yeah, I had a split set of figs. Yeah, the fig Newtons.
Oh, the fig Newtons. Oh, I thought you meant like the actual.
Yeah.
Celebrity. Oh, all right. Sorry. I just shorten it into figs.
But bottom line is, I think that if I'm Ryan Smith and I'm the Smith Entertainment Group and I've got to sell sponsorships, I've got to sell tickets, I've got to put this infrastructure in place. If we're going to do this, we got to do it now. And we'll give you to the end of the season. But moving an entire operation to Salt Lake City to be ready for playing games in the fall is not an easy thing to do. And so they got to get going now. And so you look at the timeline, you look at the NHL, you look at the mayor's comments, you look at all of this. Again, reading tea leaves, looking at how this whole thing's got to play out, it makes sense that it would have to happen very quickly.
And the other thing I'll say, what I believe, I mean, it would just be a bit of common sense, and maybe it goes deeper than this. Phoenix, once you lose it, you're not getting it back.
Yes.
You're not getting the expansion.
Yeah.
There's other places that will treat an expansion better. The NHL's already seen the embarrassment that is the Coyotes. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to expansion. Oh, yeah, for sure you're the first place. We're going to put it back where it was mistreated. We're going to put it back where a mayor said, are you kidding me with this land idea? You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
We're going to put it back where it was abused and then sold. No. I don't think that. And the reason I say that, I actually started thinking on this, like, man, I still wish Utah could just buy the expansion and build it from the ground up.
But then you're looking at 3 years.
You're looking at 3 years, and you're looking at it might not happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm so insistent on the buy. If you can purchase it and get it in your home, get it in your home.
Yeah.
Don't just wait and be like, well, maybe 3 years down the road. Maybe there's not 3 years of NHL. Who knows? So let's get it and get it going here in this market as quickly as we can. And then I think the most important thing, when they bring the NHL here, it has to have some pretty immediate success. I think.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's got to have pretty immediate success. Or, you know, you go 3 years of no postseason play, and people are like, oh, yeah, I remember the Coyotes came to town. Oh, yeah, that was maybe we should. That would be fun. Are they on a discount, like a wholesale ticket? Can I take my family members? If you don't have postseason success and you don't build a pretty unique, incredible brand, then you become the backstory. You know, it's like, oh, the Coyotes, I thought we had the Grizzlies. Or is that not the same thing? No, it isn't even close to the same thing.
Yeah.
But you got to have success.
Yeah, and I think the commitment's going to be there to provide that success. Eric tweets in, said, I can't help but feel skeptical about this NHL to Utah idea after we just got let down by Major League Baseball. Eric, those are very different situations. By the way, Major League Baseball to Salt Lake City is still very much alive.
Yeah.
Don't confuse an expansion team coming to Salt Lake City in Major League Baseball with the A's not coming to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
The A's had to go to Sacramento because they needed the TV money. I firmly believe had they been able to secure the TV money, they'd be in Salt Lake City, or they'd be in Draper.
Yeah.
Or Point of the Mountain, wherever. I don't know. Whatever that is. Like, the A's,
is
I think.
Daybreak?
The Daybreak. Yeah, you're right. Had the A's been able to hold on their TV money, again, speculation on my part, actually a little bit more of an educated guess on my part, that they would be in Draper, or they'd be in Daybreak playing baseball next year. But they couldn't secure that TV money. That's why they're in Sacramento. And keep in mind, the door is not shut on Major League Baseball. In fact, Major League Baseball, and we've had multiple guests coming on there, national writers that believe that Salt Lake City is still, they and Nashville are the front runners to securing those two expansion spots when Major League Baseball does decide to expand. So
it's going to happen.
So I would not be too overly concerned about that. And its ties to NHL, because NHL is still very much a different situation. And plus, it's just a purchase. You're buying the team. It's not waiting for a decision for somebody. No, you're buying the team. You, like you said, you have the destiny in your own hands here to be able to secure that.
Yeah, and the purchase looks like it's going to be right around that billion mark, 1.2. We've seen teams recently sold for just under a billion, and we've seen teams recently sold for over a billion. So my guess is it would put that Coyotes franchise in that billion to billion point two mark, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And Ryan will have whatever financial needs necessary to try to get that done. And I do think that with that announcement would come some housing announcement pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're just going to rest on their Delta laurels for too long. I think that they would get themselves reorganized and get the proper venues put in place. My guess is, for this to be approved through the NHL, this is my guess, the commissioner is going to say, well, what is your housing plans? Well, our housing plans is to have an NHL-specific arena that can put X amount of people in seats. Because I can't imagine that the NHL would approve this purchase with Ryan Smith simply saying, both the Jazz and the Coyotes are going to play in the Delta Center as it's currently constructed.
Yeah. Well, and I think that I would imagine that all of this work has already been done.
Yeah.
That the plan is already in place.
And will be announced pretty quickly.
The plans are already put in place, and the NHL has said, okay, look, we're playing this. This team's playing in front of 4,500. We can handle you playing in front of 12,000 for the next 2 years. That's a vast improvement over what we have in Phoenix right now. So you have 2 years to get your arena situated, whether it's a new build, whether it's a retrofit, but we're going to need that in front of 17,000-18,000. So figure that out. And if I'm Ryan Smith, I'm like, here's our plans. This is what we've got. This is our timeline. We're going to have this done, this done, this done. All right, cool. All right. Everything's in play. It's the old adage that I say all the time. You don't ask a girl to marry you unless you know what the answer is. And I think that the NHL and Ryan Smith and the Coyotes all know what the answer is. And now we're just getting through the formalities at this point. All right, 229, Hans and Scotty. Nate, Jake hanging out with us here in studio. Nate, when you look, you're a lifer, man. This is in your DNA. Football and windows have been in your DNA your entire life. You grew up sweeping floors, on installations. Like, people don't understand and appreciate. You're not just the pretty face on the commercials. Like,
pretty face though, right?
When Hans and I went there and we toured the facility and you guys gave, like, you're over there doing installations, you're working with guys. I mean, you're on installation jobs. I mean, that's really cool, man, how much invested you are in this thing.
No, I appreciate it. You know, just coming from 7 years in the National Football League and the roller coaster of the ups and downs and the uncertainty of certain positions and fall camp and all this stuff, like, now I'm on to that next phase of life, and I'm really doing something that I love. And the beauty of it is I can share, Jake and I can share the love that we have for this, for the industry, and what we're able to offer people, and just helping them with their home, right? Giving them security, providing comfort, and improving the overall aesthetics and the curb appeal, just all those things that we can stand behind and be proud of as we serve our community.
You know, when the four of us originally got together and we started this venture, you know, sponsoring and spokespersons and bringing advanced windows to everybody's room and car, pretty open. You know, we've had some really open conversations. And so I maybe put us a little bit at risk with this question, but how many window companies in this state actually build their windows here? Because, you know, I went out to that home and garden show, and there were probably 12 window companies in there.
Yes.
I talked about the one that shipped from New Hampshire. I didn't talk to any others, so I wasn't going to go around. But how many actually even build their windows here?
So in that home and garden show, none of the other companies build their own windows. There are a couple. Like, there are some window manufacturers that are here local. Some of them, let's see, two of them sell through dealers, so it's not direct. There's one that does sell. It's mostly new construction.
Okay.
And that's where we have found our niche, is that it's, instead of going new construction, we have gone the replacement window route.
Yeah.
So we take it upon ourselves to have the lifetime warranty rest on us. The service, the installation, all of that rests on us rather than selling the window new construction to a contractor. Yeah. And so we are in the home. Every day. We are in our clients' homes every day.
Well, I would just caution people, if they're thinking about replacing windows, one of the first things I would ask you is ask whoever you're talking to, do you build the windows here in the state? Do you weld the vinyl? Do you build out the windows and have the sealants? And do you do that here? Just ask, because if they say no, there's a likelihood that that's putting an extra cost that you could completely avoid with Advance.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what, like, I wish everyone could understand that. That's where, like, our pricing, money is just that's a big part of the decision. And the quality. And so you're typically getting a lower quality window at a higher price. And so we take a lot of pride in the quality of the window that we make, the vinyl that we use, the glass that we use, the sealant that we use. It's all top of the line because we have a lifetime warranty behind it. We're not going to put some shoddy product in that we know in 5 or 10 years is going to fail, because we have to back it and we have to provide you with that service for the rest of your life.
So to recap, incredible financing options, customizable to your needs, $3,000 off today when you swap out 10 windows or more. Installation in 8 weeks tops right now. Local service, local manufacturing, best warranty. Like the and the lowest price too. Like yeah. there's no box you guys are leaving unchecked here. I mean, there's no reason, yeah. Nate, you shouldn't be doing this.
Exactly. And if you just had the thought, just I ask that you please just give us an opportunity to come to your home and explain the process of just a window buying experience and what it should be, and we'll educate you on the glass, on the vinyl, what the installation will be like, and take you through every step. And before the specialist leaves your home, you'll get a quote on the spot. You'll understand financing if that's what you want to do. You'll get all the information before he leaves your home.
You're going to have $1 off for every window that Nate had a sack against Huntley against UCLA. $3,000.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's a good one.
Hands of Scotty. Right. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All you have to do is call right now. Get on the books. 801-850-9100. That's 801-850-9100. It's Vance Windows right here on 97.5.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. Dan Bickley, where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes?
There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution. You would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value, I don't know if that's any longer the case.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's one of those days where we just want to thank you for listening. We love you. We want to hook you up. We want to get you taken care of. So let's start with giving away some tickets. It's a Jazz Ticket Tuesday right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. If you're caller 12, you win tickets to see the Jazz and the Rockets coming up on the 11th at Delta Center. Is this our last Jazz Ticket Tuesday? It is. By the way, shout out to the Utah Jazz. Shout out to our good friend Chris Barney. Everybody over there for hooking us up with these tickets and letting us give away these tickets all year long.
Yeah.
So we can't thank them enough. And
that's for sure.
Hopefully next year we have a NHL ticket Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully we have a postseason Jazz ticket that we could.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Attach on there. Those postseasons are a lot of fun. When you got a team that is really competing, those postseasons are a lot of fun.
NBA playoff basketball is as good as it gets, right there.
So, you want to hear some depressing numbers?
Sure. I'm always up for being depressed.
Let's I love go. It when you depress me. It's awesome.
Bring okay. on the sadness.
Okay. Okay, so let's go back to the year 2000. All right, I was graduating college, headed to the NFL. Scotty, you were just kind
Same.
Of kicking off into the radio business.
Yeah.
And Lloyd, you were just coming out of high school, right? Like you were junior high, eighth grade?
No, I'm not far behind you guys.
You're 2000? You're quite a bit younger than us. Okay. So since the year 2000, the Spurs have 9 trips to the conference finals, and they've got 5 trips to the finals.
Yep. And what, 3 titles?
3 titles. The Lakers have 9 trips to the conference finals and 8 finals trips. The Golden State Warriors have 6 conference finals and 6 finals, so 6 finals trips. Dallas has 4 trips to the conference finals and 1 trip to the finals. The Suns have 4 trips to the conference finals and 1 trip to the finals in 2020. Oklahoma City has 4 conference finals trips. The Nuggets have three conference finals trips since 2020, the most recent in 2022, the 2022 season, of course. Portland has two trips, the most recent in 2018. The Rockets have two trips, most recent in 2017. The Grizzlies have a more recent trip than the Utah Jazz. The Clippers have a more recent trip than the Utah Jazz. There are only three teams in the entire Western Conference that have have either been there longer ago or fewer. So you got the Jazz with their finals trip into the 2006 season. The Timberwolves have a conference finals. They've got as many as the Jazz since 2000. The Timberwolves have as many as the Jazz. Their last was 2003. The Kings have as many as the Jazz.
Oh, not the Kings.
One conference finals back in 2001.
And should have won that game, too. Or should have won that series. They're up by the Lakers, like 18.
Yes. The Pelicans are the only one that does not have a conference finals since 2000.
I don't want to hear that.
So this is, to me, and the reason I put these numbers together, I was thinking about this on the drive-in. Like, we get so excited about the Utah Jazz. And the Utah Jazz are held in a very high regard for what they did in the 90s. But the Utah Jazz have really accomplished a whole bunch of nothing since 2000. Really. Now, there's been some fun trips. The Donovan Mitchell draft pick and the Rudy Gobert defensive MVPs and, you know, the Deron Williams time. There's been some fun trips along the way, but I keep coming back to this. The Jazz fans deserve way, way better than a conference finals back in 2006.
Are you really playing Send in the Clowns? Sheesh, Lloyd.
It just felt sad.
Well,
I don't know why
it is.
This feels
sad. It is. It's depressing. You know what got me thinking about this, guys? In my existence, my 18 seasons in sports radio, I've covered one conference finals trip.
Yeah.
For the Utah Jazz. In the meantime.
And by the way, you were barely doing sports radio at that point. Because that was right when DJ and PK and I left to go to KFAN.
Yep.
And you came in behind us.
That was it.
So, I mean.
It was that year.
You were like in a matter of weeks on the air doing that.
Well, I came in thinking, hot damn, this is a lot of fun, man.
And I'm going to do this every year. This is great.
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll just be doing this year after year. I haven't been able to cover a conference finals since. And Jazz fans deserve better than this, man. And so that's what I'm hope this is building to. A couple of missed postseasons, a couple of trade deadlines that feel like it's like drop dead weight deadlines, and it's been miserable. You know, we have David Locke on, and I can't even ask him questions because they're all just downer questions that he probably really can't answer without ruffling feathers and upsetting people.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just, that's why I'm hoping Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith and the changeover can really change things, because Jazz fans deserve something better than 2006, the last time you had two postseason wins.
Yeah.
Two postseason series wins.
Wow.
Is that mind-boggling?
It's mind-boggling. It's depressing. And it just felt like there was a moment there where this Jazz team was about to turn the corner. And, the era of Rudy and Donovan, it was like, all right, here we go. You got other teams where the windows are starting to close a little bit. There was that window.
Conference finals window.
And they went all in on the Mike Conley trade, and that was going to be the thing that put them over the top, and it didn't.
And look at what we've seen happen in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
One guy remains on that roster from the Quinn Snyder era. One. Jordan Clarkson. That's it.
Well, thanks for this. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go home and have a snow cone.
Well, I can't. I mean, I can't paint it. Like, I can't lie.
You should lie. Lie a little bit. Lie.
No.
Lie to me.
Just go full politician.
Yeah.
The Jazz have seen postseason. They've been to the conference finals in 2021 against the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, You want us to even do a story here, Lloyd, or should we just shut it down and call it good?
No, let's do a story.
All right, spin that wheel.
I'm so sorry.
Dr. Marvin. Dr. Leo Marvin.
Did you guys know that Bill Murray's son was on that coaching staff of UConn?
I did not know that until last night.
I had no idea. Luke Murray is Bill Murray's oldest son, and he has been coaching for Louisville. He's been coaching for Xavier, but he's been a part of this UConn coaching staff. He works more specifically with the offensive side of that team, but apparently, and according to many, including Dan Hurley, Luke Murray's next step is a head coach in college basketball. And this dude is like he is a growing big name in the world.
Well, and the thing is, he's been Dan Hurley's right-hand man for a long time. I mean, he started with him at Wagner, then he followed him to Towson, then to Rhode Island, then to Xavier, and then Louisville, and then, you know, and then now
so he's
back
been
with
him the
UConn.
Whole way.
I mean, it's been crazy.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because I saw Bill Murray on the court last night. I'm like, what is he doing? And then he's lifting up the trophy. I'm like, what is he doing?
Hey, Bill, put that down.
Yeah, because wait a second. They stopped Kevin Hart at the stairs when he was trying to get up to hold this Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, but Kevin was pretty
inebriated. He was three sheets to the wind.
I know, and his son didn't coach for the team. If his son coached for the team, I guarantee you Kevin Hart would have been up there holding that trophy. I guarantee it. And so I was
can't just randomly go up there and just grab that trophy.
I thought, you know what, man, that's a heck of a deal.
Well, I think that's great because here's a guy who's never really I don't know how generous Bill is. I'm sure he's a great father and but there's a lot of like messed up kids that grew up in Hollywood. And this guy's 39 years old. So, you know, he's younger than Ghostbusters. So Bill Murray was at the height of his career when this kid was born.
Yep.
And so he grew up with every luxury item known to man. And yet he's starting at Wagner and then Towson and Rhode Island and working his way up and paying the dues and all that stuff. Like, I admire the heck out of that because the guy can probably just be like even Tom Hanks, who seems like a genuinely good person. He's got a deadbeat kid. Like, like there's a lot of these actors that have, like, deadbeat
trying
kids.
Trying to get out of, he's faking his own death.
Yeah. But like, here's a kid that's like, no, you know what? I don't want to go into acting. I don't want to comedy, but I love basketball. And the dude has cut his teeth and done everything that's been asked of him and will eventually become a head coach here pretty soon.
That's so cool. Luke Murray, keep your eyes out for that guy.
250. We'll wrap things up. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Brian Taylor joins us now, co-host of Real Golf Radio. He is live in Augusta for the Masters.
Is there a single overlying storyline that people are talking about?
Scottie Scheffler is a big storyline. Having won 2 years ago, having won two of his last three starts with a second in the other one, and one of them being the Players' Championship, he's the number one player in the world, and he's an outright favorite. That's not always the case coming in here, and so I think that's a big storyline. Rory trying to complete the Kerr Grand Slam in year 10. John Rahm is the defending champion and lived a factor. So I think those are, and then obviously Tiger. He's looking for 24 consecutive cuts made here at Augusta. That would be a record. He's tied right now at 23. And if he is able to make it to the weekend, he will have the most consecutive cuts made in the history of the Masters. So that's a little storyline to watch, see if he can get to the weekend.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you. Want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Hans and Scotty wrapping up another edition of the show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. One final conversation with our guys here from Advanced Windows. But hey, remember, it's your chance to win big every week right here on The Zone. This week on a Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 3rd. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. All right, Nate, Jake, no reason why people shouldn't be. Like, I would love to come up with some reason like, oh, but there's this. I want you to call Jeremy right now.
Yes.
And just quiz the heck out of him and try to find a reason not to go with Advance, because there's
a great, yeah, do that.
Put
please.
Him to the challenge, because there is not one reasonable excuse, because even Jeremy's going to come out to your house. And if you don't need windows or just need a little fine tuning to maybe one or two, it'd be like, you know what? You don't need to swap out all the windows, just this yep. one or this one, or we'll do this and this and we'll save you a ton of money. Like, the guy's ready to help you out.
Yeah. And look, a lot of what we do is like 3, 4, 5 window jobs where it's customers, they're not quite sure that they need to do their whole house. So it's like, hey, we'll do a few. And 9 out of 10 times, they're calling us as soon as those windows go and say, I'm going to do the rest of them.
No kidding.
I'm going to do the rest of them. So can I still get can I get the discount on the rest of
these
windows?
What's the reason behind just doing a few? They think it's just the primary areas? Or?
Yeah. It's like, hey, let's do the front of the house or the windows that we know really are bad. Let's just replace those. We'll leave our other windows in. And then once you get the new windows in and you see the difference, like what it looked like from the outside and then the feeling on the inside, what it looks like on the inside, you have homeowners that are like, wait a second. Like, let's just bite the bullet. Let's figure out, tell us about the financing. Well, we'll actually listen to the financing and we just want to do all of them. And it happens 9 out of 10 times when people do that. They're just a few windows in their house. And look, that's why we're willing to have Jeremy come out to your house. He'll tell you which windows like really needs to be replaced. Often, like, not every window needs to be replaced. Most homeowners want to have all of their windows match. My personal preference, aesthetically, all of the windows matching. But we'll do whatever the homeowner wants.
So I would also reach out to people out there, because there's probably quite a few listeners that have gigantic windows in their house. My first house in Utah County, I had 3 windows in my front room that were 12 feet high yeah. by about 4 feet wide. Yeah. Gigantic windows. I know that builder skimped, like went way past. That was just basically like having 3 big open holes in my house. My heating yeah. and cooling bill was crazy. In my new house, I've got really good windows, and it secures the house, and I can see the difference. I wish I could go back. I'd yeah. change out those gigantic windows because I was losing money.
We actually have some of those, like it's about 4 feet wide, 12 feet tall. It's like 12 foot, 13 feet, and then 15 feet tall that we had that we're making in the shop that were made yesterday. Uh-huh. And it was one individual who's in the back who does all of the shapes and just was laughing at, like, he couldn't even like pick them up. Because it was like so wide and yeah. like so tall. But yeah, we're replacing
those
windows.
So you guys replace stuff like that yeah. easy.
And so we're doing that. It'll be in the next week or so is when those will get installed. But that home, because those windows are so large, it's such a large opening in the home, it's going to be night and day difference in what they're feeling. But the sun, like what their concern was the heat and the sun beating on their wood floors, on the furniture. And like we have glass that is designed to deflect those rays and to keep the heat out in the summer months. And we're coming up on summer. And the energy, the heating, the cooling bills, like that's, your AC is going to be running nonstop.
Well, and you mentioned you got the weird shaped guy in the back because yeah. everything's manufactured.
That's right, he's a weird
shaped
guy. That's right.
Nate, everything's done here. This is local yeah. manufacturing. You're cutting out that middleman, which means you can pass those savings onto your consumers.
That's right. And ultimately, everything is custom, right? From the financing is custom. Every opening in your home is custom. And so we come out, it's everything is to the 1/8 of an inch of those openings, and it's a custom fit to your home. So don't hesitate. Give us a call and allow us to come out to your home.
It all starts with that phone call. You're going to call Jeremy. He's going to come out to your house, and he'll let you know the financing options and the bid right there on the place. Jake, you don't have to wait 3 weeks to get that.
Yeah, you're not going
to
be. We run into it all the time with like customers saying, "Hey, they got a couple bids. They're waiting on one from another company before they can pull the trigger on anything." It's like we'll follow up 3 days later, yeah. a week later, 2 weeks later. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah,
like, you're going to get the price on the spot with us,
and you get the $3,000 off. Now, look, you don't have to sign anything today. You just have to get on the books. Yep. That'll secure you the $3,000. If you want to proceed, then you can apply that $3,000. Financing options, customizable as well. This is a company, again, Local Direct. They can manufacture everything. Your windows are going to be installed from sizing to installation in about 8 weeks right now. It all starts with that phone call, though. 801-850-9100. Claim that $3,000 off right now. 801-850-9100. You dudes are the best, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate you.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.